Moncrief on News Talk.
This isn't what you want. Me without power. This is undignified. Don't you want me at my best? Admit it. You prefer me.
Horizontal? In a grave?
Formidable.
So take my power.
It's cute. But you know that would kill me. Just let me get my purple back, and then come find me.
I am not the only one that wants to see you dead. Wants to see you burn, or hang, or drown.
There are no new options?
I could just sit back and watch.
At Agatha All Along, new episodes every Thursday on Disney Plus. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Sean.
This is the WandaVision universe?
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the grander MCU universe, but yes, it is a follow-up to WandaVision, which I think is 3 years old at this point and would arguably be considered the last TV hit in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Definitely. And this is coming kind of at a time where Marvel really sort of just needs a hit in general, because interest in their properties has been waning, and so has the box office. So they're looking for something to kind of reignite it. And whether or not this is the show that's going to do that, I don't know. But it's certainly fun. Right?
Okay.
So what it is inherently a camp little silly show. Now, what I liked about WandaVision 3 years ago was it was unlike anything else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, despite aping off other properties, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it was, you know, it was about each episode was following a different sort of sitcom trope throughout decades, and revealing this bigger mystery that it was ultimately, quote unquote, Agatha all along. And what I really liked about this one is in the very opening episode, we find Agatha Harkness, played by Catherine Hahn, trapped in her own trap from WandaVision, where she, you know, WandaVision takes place in, I think, Westview is the name of the town, and she is mayor of Easttowning her way through Westview.
Okay.
She is Agatha of Westview, a detective trying to solve a murder of a dead woman. And she is trapped in this fantasy as well, right? And they have even this, like, very charming opening credit sequence that looks like True Detective circa, you know, 2016, you know?
Yeah.
And playing very much with the form. But if anyone has seen the trailers, I mean, that's not what this show is about, right? This isn't WandaVision 2.0. This is Agatha all along. And we find Agatha broken free from her prison, shall we say, and powerless as the witch she once was. So she wants to regain her witchy powers. And in order to do that, she decides to walk the witch's road, which is a Marvel, I mean, it's not a Marvel property I knew of, but it does exist in the comics somewhere. And in order to do that, she needs to put together a coven, which we'll see various people come into the fray, including Aubrey Plaza, Patti LuPone, the great sort of Broadway diva, Alice Ann Sashir Zamata, excuse me, and Deborah Jo Rupp, better known as Kitty from That 70s Show, who is actually great in it too.
Mm.
And they're all tied together by Joe Locke, who people will know mostly from Heartstopper, here doing an okay American accent, I'd say. And he is only known as Teen, because whenever he tries to tell anything about himself to Agatha, it's muffled or his mouth is literally covered. So there is some suspicion about who he is, but I'd say to even engage with that would be either fruitless or spoiler territory. So
okay.
Bother. Now, what is there to like about this? Well, it's camp, right? It's hocus pocus in the MCU, shall we say.
Yeah,
yeah. Don't get me wrong, there's a bit of violence, there's a bit of, you know, witchy stuff going on here, spells are being cast. I mean, look, it all involves a murder in the first episode, though you don't see anyone getting murdered, shall we say. So it's not PG hocus pocus, but it's that kind of vibe, in the sense that the Witch's Road is kind of like a yellow brick road type stand-in where there's going to be peril along the way. We all know that. How do they access it? Through a melodic ballad called The Ballad of the Witch's Road, written by the same husband and wife duo who wrote the, you know, earwormy Agatha all along in the first season of WandaVision. And who wrote all the songs to Frozen, who know how to write a, you know, a song.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So like all in, I was very much charmed by these first two episodes, and I, you know, looked at the schedule, and it all comes to an end on the 30th of October. So I think we can expect it to be very spooky, spooky Halloween-y by the end of the journey, and I'm hoping it can really go the journey.
Yeah, and the murderer part of it, is she still trying to solve this murder and be a detective, or is that plotline dumped?
So that is an allusion to other things that have happened in the MCU, most notably in the film Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So if you want to know what that is referring to, you need to watch that movie, right? And therein kind of lies the rub of all MCU projects. We are now, God, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years into this as a device. And for some people, you know, the jump on point now is actually too difficult because too much has gone ahead. And do you want to do all your homework and watch every single MCU thing in the lead up to watch the opening episode of, of Agatha all along? Probably not. But if you're already on that train, are you going to keep doing your homework and watch it? Probably. Now, I have, like, so far I've been doing my homework. I skipped Echo, the last thing. I haven't watched a single episode of that. But this was tantalizing because, look, the cast is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Catherine Hahn herself is a very intriguing actress. Like, she nearly broke through many years ago when she was in the running to be Pam in The Office, in the American version of The Office, and sort of didn't get it. And then she's been a bit player and like a best friend type, you know, that kind of like Hollywood friend. And then WandaVision was a bit of a breakthrough moment for her, and she's had a number of starring vehicles since then. But this is her big break. Like, let's be honest here, right? Like, this is going to catapult her to, if it takes off, to the same, like, the same career bump that I would say Elizabeth Olsen got from WandaVision when that came out 3 years ago.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, it all remains to be seen.
Okay, but would you have to have at least seen WandaVision to understand what the hell's going on in this?
I do think you would want to have seen at least WandaVision. And if you haven't seen WandaVision, you know what, of all the homework exercises you could have to do,
you could be a worse one.
There could be a way worse one.
Yeah. Okay, right, that's fair enough. Right, our next show is Colin from Accounts. You can stream all of season 2 now on the RTE player. Here's a clip.
Oh, quick, just while I've got you.
Yeah.
Are we exclusive?
Yeah, what do you mean? Yes, of course we are. You live here, Ash. Why?
No, nothing. Just wondering.
Yeah, Ash, of course.
Yeah.
You look beautiful, by the way. What is that you put on?
Just mascara.
That's pretty.
Thank you.
Like your dress.
It's a skirt and a top.
Right. Yeah. No, it's good. Is it new or?
No.
Have you lost a bit of weight?
Nope.
Not that you needed to. Not that you do need to. Or that you did need to if you have. But if you haven't, you look great now. Like, and you don't need to.
You loved Series 1.
Yeah.
So
it was with a little trepidation that I returned to season 2, right? Because obviously the thing about when you love something that's a comedy is like, will they jump the shark? Will they dig down? Will they make it worse? What will they do? And I am delighted to say season 2 is as charming and fun and watchable. And watchable is really what I would say of everybody involved in this as season 1. So season 1 introduced our two characters, Dr. Ashley Mulden and Gordon Krapp, played by Harriet Dyer and Patrick Bramall. And they are a husband and wife duo in real life as well. They live in Los Angeles, but they are both Australian. He was on Home and Away for a while, so people might know him from that. And she was on a sort of short-lived sitcom called American Auto. That's the only other thing I know. Mm. And they came together. They wrote this first season. Although they live in LA now, they flew back, obviously, to Sydney, filmed it all there. And it was about this kind of unlikely relationship with a slight age gap between a slightly older, I mean, not old, but, you know, like 40-something and turning 30 woman after they accidentally are involved in a car accident with a dog, the aforementioned Colin from Accounts.
Yeah.
And the first season is about them building a relationship while trying to bring this dog back to health. And at the tail end of it, no pun intended, they end up giving Colin back. And at the beginning of this second season, it's all about, well, what do they do in their relationship now? That's kind of the connective glue that held them together, caring for this dog, is gone. Can they actually make it as a couple now that they don't have that shared interest anymore, or, you know, that thing to do at night?
Yeah.
Right? And like, what I like most about this is it's really, really like, I mean, obviously it's a TV show and it's ridiculous and silly, but it seemed very frank and like honest in the sense that what I liked about it was the characters had real flaws that didn't just seem made up for TV, that they seemed like recognizably realistic. Mm. Or there was like their petty arguments would be understandably petty, why they'd be pissed off or annoyed at each other. And then it moves the dial along dramatically an awful lot as well. Like, it is a comedy and it is uproariously funny. Like, the lines are hilarious. The delivery is hilarious. But, like, I mean, a lot of contemporary comedies, it's, you know, peaks and troughs in terms of let's have a bit of maudlin
sure,
as well,
yeah.
right? And when the maudlin comes here, when you know, and it does, it felt earned by the show. Like,
yeah.
as in, I was like, yes, oh my God, oh. You know, yeah. like, as in, I really just bought into this and I could spend 3 more seasons in the company of this pair and see where they go. So, like, I really thought it was unbelievably charming. I watched practically the whole thing in one sitting and would do it again.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, in fairness, the RTE player does get the odd gem every now and again, doesn't it?
It does, it yeah. does, yeah. And particularly a lot of Australian gems. I don't know what that pipeline is, but...
yeah.
It's coming.
Somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. Right, our third show is The Penguin. There are new episodes every Monday on Sky Atlantic and Now TV. Here's a clip.
When I was a kid, I was a gangster. Real old school type. Rex Calabrese. He was a big deal. At least in my neighborhood. He helped people. If someone in your family was sick, he'd find you a doctor, short on rent, front you the cash. I know everyone's names, too. I don't know how he kept them all in his head, but if he saw you on the street, he'd call out to you, ask how you were. I felt like he meant it, too. When I'm 14 or something, he has a heart attack and dies. Still holding a cigar. In my neighborhood, they throw a parade in his honor. A friggin' parade.
Now, the funny thing, we were talking about this on Movies and Booze on Friday. Like, Colin Farrell is getting raves everywhere. Everyone's saying it's fantastic, but it doesn't look like Colin Farrell. It could be anyone.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, yes. It doesn't look like Colin Farrell. Like, the way I have seen this described, and I can't deny it, even as I was watching it, I thought it myself, is it's like Colin Farrell is doing James Gandolfini cosplay.
Right? Yeah.
Like, as in, there's even a bit in the opening episode where the penguin, Oz Cobb, as he is here, rather than usually Oswald Cobblepot, is sitting in an armchair opposite another guy. And, like, even just the room looks like the therapy room,
yeah.
Dr. Melfi's office kind of thing. And I was like, oh my God, lads, right? But I actually found this very, very entertaining and was really surprisingly taken by this. And Colin Farrell is not doing a subtle performance here, right? By any means, like he is amping up this wise guy, New York, why you walking here kind of thing, right? But he is under so much layers of prosthetics that it actually sort of balances out perfectly,
yeah.
right? As in, he's hamming it and he's hammy and somehow it's a perfect meal and perfectly balanced, right? So this is, again, another comic book iteration, but while Agatha All Along is like Easter egg central, you know, throughout the whole thing, this seems to want to run away from the concept of Batman as quickly as it can and just let's not even mention the Batman.
Okay,
kind of thing,
fair
right?
enough, yeah.
And it is set in the world of 2022's The Batman, the most recent one, the Matt Reeves directed one, in which the Riddler was the main villain and Colin Farrell's The Penguin was the sub-villain.
Mm.
And here he's elevated to the lead. Obviously, the show is, you know, his name. And he's trying to fill a vacuum left by the death of the Falcone crime boss and sees this as his potential to grab a, you know, get a foothold in